Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are recapping our weeks, talking about the things we did. I think. I don't know. We're both wearing black t-shirts. Apathetic Enthusiasm. I want to start this episode by saying when you start a podcast, a lot of things have to happen. But each time you start an episode, it's great to have consistency, like consistently counting into the episode with a 3, 2, 1 that is consistent. The amount of time you spend on a particular number doesn't change. So if you hear like a 1 as the episode is starting on YouTube, that's a bonus. That's bonus content.
It's bonus.
That's just another... It's another thing we provide.
Scloozy time. hey, everybody. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show that brings you enthusiasm to your and apathetics.
To your apathetics. We bring our apathy to your enthusiasm.
And I'm Brandon. I don't know if you know that. I'm Brandon Cruz.
I'm here too.
I'm one of the hosts of this fine show. Travis is another one of the hosts. He introduced himself while I was introducing myself. I wasn't done introducing myself, but he felt the need to interrupt my introduction. That's why we call him Travis the Interrupter.
Yep. That's my name. Yep. And you can find me on X at The Interrupter. No, I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. And we are at Apathusiast. We're on Facebook. You can send us emails. apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Apathetic underscore enthusiasm is Instagram handle. And our website, assuming we pay for it, is apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can find us on YouTube. If you want to see... my experimentation with facial hair, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm or support the show, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big thanks to the patrons over there who get stuff like bonus content, post shows, things like that. So big thanks to the patrons, patreon.com. All right, that's it. That's all the notes.
Brandon. I thought of two Patreon jokes right now as you were talking. One, it sounded like you said Patreon, which
pain.
Is
we're just in pain all the time.
No, which is our BDSM subscription service.
All right, I don't know if our old friend Matt is gonna. He has not cleared me to have this conversation, but we keep kicking around the idea of this content. Here's how I think. So I'm trying to think of this is going to be one of those stories where it's like, it was real funny in the moment, but now that I'm retelling it, it's awful. there is a local Comic Con that is coming to town, and it appears to be a Comic Con that's heavily focused on bringing in celebrities for autograph signings, those sorts of things, right? They have a lot of different celebrities that are coming in, appearing for 1 to 2 days. Chris Parnell, who is the voice of
friend of the podcast,
Jerry, friend of the podcast, has been on Interdimensional RSS a couple of times. He's going to be there, so I'm like, oh, maybe I should check this out. Maybe I should go and try and visit this when they're in town. But then I was looking at the other celebrities that were going to be there, and they buried the lead with Jerry because all of the keepers of Blue, as in Blue's Clues, we're talking Steve, we're talking the other guy, and we're talking the guy after him, are all going to be there, right? But we're in the car, we're out to lunch, we're driving back to work, and me and Matt start talking about, oh, all these celebrities. Yeah. Like, what? You got Steve and the other Steve. And and then somebody said, oh, yeah. And Steve-O would be there. And this opened up the can of worms of imagine a retelling of Blue's Clues. I think the perfect scenario for this is like an SNL digital short where it's Blue's Clues, but Steve-O is the Steve from Blue's Clues. And all of the like cartoon inanimate objects are scared for their life because he's just spending all of his time like taking Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper and like pouring them in his eyes. And then like, you can't find paprika.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say Mr. Salt and Mr. Pepper are, where'd they go? And he's just bent over.
Yeah. That's where paprika is probably. there's like a little like animated stapler and he's like stapling like his skin.
Ball sack.
Yeah. And I don't know. We came up with a lot of bits for it. Blue would just always be like covering her little eyes there. Anyway, this I think if any SNL writers listen to this podcast, please make this happen. Please get Steve-O on the phone.
Feel free to take it and make it into your most famous skit of all of your sketches.
I feel like if they had attempted this
in the 90s,
10, 15 years ago, it would have been gold.
Golden.
Would have been
take gold. That, David S. Pumpkins. You know, this is Steve-O who does Blue's Clues. Okay, so Patreon, right? The BDSM.
Patreon. That's right. That's an exclusive short over on Patreon.
But also, you know, are there any... I asked this question, but I know the answer. If there's any religious, like based, like Bible study Patreons out there, and if there are,
there would have to be.
There would have to be, and like how we call our patrons Unity, you would think that those religious ones would have like patron saints,
right? Patrons, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's it.
All right, that's our episode, everybody.
Maybe Steve-O is on Patreon. Okay. Well, we have a lot to discuss with you, none of which we know what it is, but we'll go ahead and just start with Travis. How the hell are you doing?
I'm all right, Brandon. I am just fine. I think I teased at this in our last episode. Or maybe it was just in the post show. Avid listeners of the podcast will note that Travis has been getting more and more involved with a trading card game called Lorcana.
Oh, and it's a Travis Menard Lorcana Minute.
Burr, 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 burr.
Lorcana, da-da-da-da, Lorcana, da-da-da-da.
Oh, gosh, it has theme music now. Oh, no. I should get out while I still can. So I've been going and playing at a local game store with my son. We play regularly in their quote unquote league events where you can get points and win prizes and things like that. But they're starting to run tournaments, regularly at this store as well. We missed last month's. So I was like, hey, I want to check out this month's tournament. And it was kind of unique, kind of different, because instead of following a normal rule set for the decks that you have to build, it follows this double feature, right, is what they called it, where any color combinations you wanted, normally you can only have two, but you could only select from two different franchises. So two different movie franchises or collections of movies. I decided to build a Moana and Peter Pan deck.
Oh, right.
And I play tested that a little bit. Had a bunch of Captain Hook cards and things like that, and then different things from that I felt like would work well together. And it did all right when I was playing with my son at home, you know, kind of play testing it. And we get there and we're playing our normal, you know, league stuff on a Saturday. And, you know, like there's some new people there, some new faces, It's like, hey, all right, maybe the tournament's bringing out some new people. All right, this will be good. Also, some people that I've played with in the past, including a guy named Brandon, whose name I was very, very quick to remember. I'm not exactly sure why, but he was there, and he shows up. He's like, oh, man, I built these decks. I'm winning this tournament. I'm winning it. Like, I feel so good about it. These things are so good. And I'm like, okay, cool. Right on. Like, I'm going to play in the tournament. It's my first one ever. I hope I don't come in last place. Like, and especially because my son's playing in it too. So hopefully we're neither of us are in last place. But him and another friend of his who he built like both of their decks, they sit down across from me and we start kind of playing and they're play testing these decks that they built for the tournament. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, whatever. We'll try them out. And I play one hand with them and totally beat them, like beat them right away. And then I was like, oh, he's talking pretty big game about this deck. And I just kind of destroyed it. Okay. Well, let's play again. Maybe play the other deck. Play that deck. I beat that one. Try again. Like three games in a row, I'm beating these decks that are super great and are going to win the tournament. The unfortunate thing about that is by playing their decks and exposing weaknesses within them, it gave them an opportunity to swap out some cards, figure out what they're having issues with. So then when it came time for the actual tournament, it didn't go as well for me.
Did you come in last?
I did not.
Good.
I actually came in second to last. So, you know, it's, there were actually only seven total people in the tournament. So it was a little bit smaller than I expected. Some of those new faces that I mentioned didn't stick around for the tournament play. They were just there for some league play. But yeah, it was interesting. It was played in three 50-minute rounds, best of three. So you get paired up with an opponent, you play, best of three. If you win the first two, you don't have to play the third. But yeah, and then you have 50 minutes to do that, and then you swap and play against other people. Because it was an odd number of players, a few players had a bye in each round and had no opponent. But then they like automatically got a win for that round.
Yeah,
which was really interesting because
you didn't get any. Free win.
I did. Well, I did win a round, but I did not get a free win. I had to earn it. But sure enough, the guy who was very confident about his deck coming in, Brandon, did end up winning the tournament overall. He won all three of his rounds. He had a very strong deck. Like there was, it's a bit of like it has a synergy in it that like you can win very quickly if you get the right cards. So
yeah.
It's like
poker. You know, if you have the right cards, then you win.
It's basically the same game. I don't know why there's such a learning curve. But I learned a lot. There were a handful of like kids to teens in the tournament too, which like on the one hand, like I don't want to like beat a kid like and you have me on record saying that I don't want to beat a kid.
I refuse to beat a kid. Travis Menard, 2024.
However, I'm also not going to throw a game necessarily if it's a paid tournament, right? Yeah. So I did feel a little bit bad about like going two games to none against one person I was playing that she's younger. And she actually had a deck that I had considered building, but I played it against Caleb a few times. Like, I don't know that this is going to work as well. And that turned out to be true for her in the contest. But overall it was fun experience. I did go 2-1 1-2 in my rounds. And so I didn't get like extra packs, which were the prizes. But here's the thing. as consolation prizes, the store gave out promotional cards from the first series, which came out before I even knew what Lorcana like was. So I ended up getting some exclusive cards that I wouldn't have gotten anyway. So overall, it's not a total loss. Had a lot of fun. Yeah. And
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great for you. That's great for you. It's a great story to tell your grandkids someday.
Great. Yeah, I'm just going to say, go listen to Apathetic Enthusiasm episode 240 something.
That's what we're going to do as old men.
Grandpa,
tell me another story.
My kids won't talk like grandpas. They'll talk like kids.
Hey, Grandpa, why don't you tell me a story?
Just subscribe to Patreon.
It's a BDSM, but...
Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about this content just existing on the internet for like a really long time?
I do.
And then like our grandkids being like, what, Grandpa? It's like finding that box in the attic, but the digital version of, wow, Grandpa's really a nerd.
Our grandkids are going to know so much useless shit about us if they ever pay attention to these.
I don't think they'll get through any episodes. I think they'll be like, yeah, all right, this was Grandpa's outlet. That's fine.
This boring. Boring.
Why are they talking about that like really obscure movie from Netflix in 2014?
Why do they have 243 episodes of this?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do they?
Why do they indeed? No, that's cool. That's cool, man. In a similar note of competition, Friday night, I was just had a cup of scotch, a glass of scotch, a
plastic tumbler of scotch,
a plastic tumbler of Johnny Walker Blue, and not that fancy, but I was playing the arcade machine, right? And I'm like, you know what, I gotta beat the Dig Dug 2. I gotta beat my high score of Dig Dug 2, and I did, in fact, beat my high score of Dig Dug 2. But then I was like, my kids, Baxter, has had the Dig Dug high score on the machine for a very long time. And I'm like, I know I can beat it. I know I can, but don't do it. Well, what happened was I'm like, I want to see if I can beat it. And sure enough, I got to his high score, but I didn't want to pass it. So what I did was, in Dig Dug, you get points for, of course, blowing up the monsters, grabbing fruit. If you, depending on how deep you kill the monsters, you get more points, right? So that's one way to score. But also, if you're digging through the earth, you get like 10 points per like every few feet you go. So you get points that way. So I got all the way up to Baxter's high score within like 20. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get within just 10 points of his high score, and then I'm going to drop it, right? Just prove it to myself. Well, I moved an extra foot too far, and I went 10 points above his score. I'm like, shit. I should have just turned it off right then, but I didn't. So I told Baxter on Sunday, I was like, by the way, I did beat your high score. I'm sorry. And then he spent a couple hours trying to beat it. I don't know if he did, but I did notice he stopped playing the game. So anyway, you know, competition.
Yeah, competition. I mean, in a similar note, and Lorcana has all sorts of cards and things that different combinations that can be really strong if you put a deck together. But the nature of a trading card game, if you don't find those cards, unless you're playing online where you have access to infinite cards, right? If you don't physically have the cards, you can't really build those decks. So I saw a deck combination I really liked, and being a person with, you know, my own income, they worked for a living. I looked the cards up online, and they were relatively cheap. I could buy a handful of the cards that I needed to kind of make some things work for like less than 10 bucks. And I was like, cool, I know I'll get exactly the cards I want instead of spending, you know, more than that on two packs of random cards. Mm-hmm. I'll just get the cards I need. I can put this deck together. So the cards finally come in the mail, and I put them together. I arranged the deck, and I'm thinking in my head, there's like a championship tournament that's coming up next month. I want to be more competitive in that tournament than I was in this tournament this last weekend. Take this seriously, build a competitive deck. Let's see how it goes. So I get that deck put together. I sit down across my son and I'm like, hey, let's test it out. And I just annihilate him. And I'm like, oh, well, on the one hand, the deck is working as intended. On the other hand, his frustration is mounting. So after like two games with that deck, I was like, all right, I'll put it away for now. Play something else that's a little less competitive. And then I ended up inadvertently beating him again. So, you know, but he still loves it.
We bond
over it. Like that's the really great. Nice thing about it is, it's nerdy. It's niche. It's, there's so many things that going against this hobby, but it is a thing my son and I genuinely enjoy that we like doing. We can go out and do it. We like, yeah, play with other people that have a similar interest, and then get excited about it, go finding the cards we want, like putting decks together. There's like a lot of different aspects of it that we just kind of bond over. Yeah. So I'm sorry I flood the podcast with so much Lorcana content, but
Lorcana minute.
It's good for my family.
That your grandkids are gonna love hearing about a long dead.
Right. Oh, that's why game. Grandpa had all these Disney playing cards in his shoebox.
Grandpa really loved Disney products, didn't he?
I don't think there's gonna be any question of that with my grandkids. I think that will be very clear.
Do you think Grandpa likes Disney, or do you think that people just bought him stuff? bonding with the kiddos. So we play a lot of video games, old Baxter and I, and a couple of games came out this last week. One came out a little bit longer than that. It was like, there's a zombie game where it's just isometric and you go around. I think it's like, what is it? Like PlayStation or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. I forget what it is. Oh, Paradise. It's Paradise.
Paradise.
Anyway, so that's kind of like a low quality game. But it's fun, you know, like you build a survival thing, you'll kill zombies. That's fun. We play that. Then we also I bought Divinity Original Sin 2 for the Xbox, because we played through Baldur's Gate 3. I'm like, you know what? You might like Divinity Original Sin. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then he likes the character design. He's like, so he's excited to play that. But okay. But that's not what we've been playing this week. This week we've been playing a remastered version of Battlefront 1 and 2, which released on the PC, PlayStation, and the Xbox. In Battlefront 2, the one from the 2000s, not the EA version from the late 2017. The original version. And what I loved about Battlefront 2 was the Galactic Conquest mode, where you basically, it's kind of a turn-based like overview where you're like going from planet to planet, either space battles or planet side battles. And then, you know, you get a bonus and you can buy bonus stuff and unlock new characters and stuff. Really, really fun. And so Baxter and I played a lot of that this weekend. We both love the space battles, because Battlefront 2, you have the space battles. You're on your Calamari cruiser and you're like, you know what? I'm going to hop in an A-wing and I'm going to go attack the Star Destroyer. And then there's also the transport ship. So while Baxter's like doing the A-wing stuff, I like get on the transport ship and I hop in there and I transport all of my troops to the Star Destroyer, land in there, and then start shooting up the place. And like that's so cool. And that's one of those things that was missing from the EA versions in 2015 and 2017, is this like seamless foot to space battle kind of battling, which hopefully someday they bring back. But There are problems with the game. Like, you know, it's 2024. Sizemore also got it. And we're like, yeah, cool, Galactic Conquest. We can play this together. We can't do that. We can't do that online. We can only do the standard, you know, battles. Which is
PvP stupid. Type stuff.
Yeah.
Man, that when as you were explaining that game, it just got me thinking back to that that Star Wars Squadrons game It was like the dog fighting type and you could play it in VR. That game was really enjoyable, and I feel like it was just a few years ahead of its time. I feel like the popularity of VR has caught up now to a point where a lot of people have like the Oculus or Meta Quest gaming headsets now. I feel like they're much more common than they were, you know, 3-5 years ago. And I just loved playing that Star Wars. I had the hands-on throttle and stick, like joystick, and I'm playing VR and I can look all around my ship and everything. Get kind of motion sick. It was perfect. 40 more stops. So like it's good. It was a fun game, but I feel like the issue with it is because it was multiplayer, you gotta have an audience for it. And I think just people fell away from the game. And so the last things I heard about it was like it just kind of died because there wasn't the player base.
Yeah.
It might be coming back. It might be building back up, but I don't know. For now, it's just a fond memory.
Speaking of Squadrons, a bit of news out there. So Kathleen Kennedy, the lady who directed Wonder Woman, I forget her name. Damn it, that's going to bother me. But while you look that up. She was originally slated to direct the Rogue Squadron movie, and then it got canceled. It got canceled, and they're like, oh, no.
Patty Jenkins.
It's like, oh, that sucks. But good news. It's back on in some way, shape, or form.
Like the Rogue Squadron or Rogue One.
Yeah.
What are they calling that? Yeah.
So that's it. That's exciting. Looking forward to that, because I want a good, solid spaceship battle oriented movie, you know?
Did you see the premiere date and poster reveal for The Acolyte?
Yeah, isn't it like, April or May?
June 4th on Disney Plus. Yeah. So we have to wait a little bit longer.
The poster's
but this
cool.
is like this is like a real bloody looking poster. Like it looks like a lightsaber hilt, just kind of sitting on sort of like a stone, like ground or whatever. But then there's just like red streaks of blood coming out of the top of the hilt that makes it look like a red lightsaber. But yeah, it's definitely.
But it's not. Lit. But it's not a red lightsaber. It's blood.
It's blood.
Blood.
It looks like blood. The larger poster says, "In an age of light, a darkness rises." The Acolyte, June 4th on Disney Plus. I mean, we'll see. There's definitely a mixed audience on Disney's offerings with new Star Wars. I believe in the Filoniverse, and I like a lot of the stuff that he works on. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm always up for some new Star Wars content. I'm currently watching The Bad Batch.
Oh yeah,
it's. It's good. It delivers.
I hope that Gina Carano comes back for the Acolyte. I know she was in Mandalorian, but you know, I hope she comes back. I hope she comes back in some way, shape, or form. You know,
in a completely different period in the history of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, one before vaccines and pronouns. speaking of things that we shouldn't talk about, let's talk about Poor Things. You watched Poor Things. I talked a little bit about it last week, but why don't you watch the whole thing? You finished it.
I I did finish it.
That's good. You finished it off, huh?
Yeah. And one of the things you cautioned me on is the amount of adult content in Poor Things. One of the things I was trying to think about when watching this movie is what is the message that they're trying to tell us, right? And a lot of movies they use shocking imagery. This one really leaned into sexuality to try and tell the story. And I don't know, like, was it necessary? Maybe not necessary. Like, I understand some of what they're trying to do, but I did think it was an interesting story about developing as a person, a little bit about like innocence and being naive to the world and how the people around us and the things that we're exposed to shape the people that we become, right? And how some people could live a very sheltered life, like she was protected and in this house, like under the control of a creator that she calls God, and was not exposed to the outside world, and they thought that was safe for her, right? But she goes out and is taken advantage of at times, and also takes advantage of other people, but then is exposed to a lot more of the world and the good and the bad, and by the end becomes an independent individual who can make decisions for herself and is self-reliant. It's weird. It's a weird movie. It's very artsy. I really appreciated what's the category in the Oscars that
adapted screenplay?
No, not adapted screenplay.
Supporting actress, main actress.
I'll think of it.
Costume design, cinematography, animation.
I really enjoyed the animation.
Sound design.
No, there's a specific word I'm looking
Gaffer.
For. Production design.
Production
design. The overall vibes. The overall vibes is what I like. The way everything looked, the architecture of the buildings, the sets that they use. I did like the cinematography. I liked the like use of like fisheye lenses. I liked the use of black and white for portions of the film, and then moving into color later on, and just sort of the world that they created, this parallel sort of fantasy dystopian type of alternate history future type thing. This movie to me felt a lot like Edward Scissorhands if Edward Scissorhands loved to do it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Which we don't know that he didn't love to do it.
He was driven by love.
That's right. He may very well have been doing it a lot. We just don't know. That's not the story.
Tim Burton chose not to show those scenes.
Right.
And that's his choice as a director.
But you can see it in the unrated director's cut.
Director's cut, right?
release the Tim Burton cut of
Scissorhands cut.
I get it. That's good.
So you didn't finish the movie. You don't know how it ended.
I read how it ended.
Oh, this is the way. This is how you absorb content.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea and I talked about it, and we both sat down and were like, I don't really care about finishing that movie. Like, yeah, either way.
Yeah, I did get to a point where I was like, all right, like let's wrap it up. Let's figure out where we're taking this train, and let's just park it in that station.
And eventually, yeah. Like based off what I read in Wikipedia, it does shift away from the sex a little bit, and then like okay,
far too late though. Far too late.
Like the plot develops very at the tail end of the third act. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, that's what the story's about again. Okay, great. Cool.
It's when I look at the categories that Poor Things won, production design, fully supported. Yes, this was an outland, like Barbie, again, wild sets, like very, I mean, outstanding production design there. Other nominees in that category, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer. I would agree they all did a great job with their production design, but this was like steeped in like creativity in every aspect of like some of the visuals that you saw.
I don't disagree, this was not
my best picture pick. I would have selected Oppenheimer over this for sure.
Did this get best picture?
No. Oppenheimer, okay. Yeah.
I was like, oh, what the hell, this got best picture.
This one for makeup and hairstyling again. Yeah, I'll give it to you. That's fine. That's totally fine. And then outside of that, costume design, it took that one. And then some acting, right? Obviously Emma Stone. I do think Emma Stone did a really good job, and in she definitely put it all out there for this role. But really just the way that she conveyed sort of that development from having the mind of like a baby to, you know, a full-fledged adult that I don't know, I think she did a good job with some of that in this role too. So I don't know. Interesting film. Do I recommend it? Not necessarily. Did I rate it highly on my Letterbox? Not terribly.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Thanks for the Poor Things update.
The Poor update.
Let's see. What else?
Have you done anything this weekend to make your life or recording space better?
Yeah. The town I live in has a free dump day like once or twice a year, and so I borrowed my dad's truck and I threw a bunch of shit in the back, and then I went to the dump. It opened up at 10. It's from like 10 to 4, right? It's a great story. From like 10 to 4. And my brother-in-law was like, yeah, you should get there early because otherwise the line's going to be long. I'm like, oh, like 9? Like, no, you probably like, if you're at 9, you're going to be way back there. Like, get there at like 7, 7:30. Like, holy shit. Okay. So Sunday morning, I wake up at super early. Like, I try to take a dump. I'm a morning dumper, you know? try to pee, yeah, because I don't want to be waiting in line.
Take care of your business early. you gotta prepare for the day.
If I know that I'm gonna be waiting in line for like 3 hours and I don't know what the restroom situation's like, I'm like, gotta do it. so now I'm waiting.
Man, I certainly do not plan my life out like that anymore.
That's good.
We're getting down to the real important stuff.
Nitty gritty. Now I'm waiting in line. I'm just sitting there. I'm like on my phone. I'm like, God, 2 hours left. I'm like, I'm starting to have to pee again. I'm like, damn it. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? Best thing to do is just, no, I'll just go back to sleep. Right? I'll just take a nap and just set my alarm just to make sure I don't oversleep.
is the vehicle running?
No. I turned it off and I was just running my phone. Okay. Yeah, and I turned the radio off too because I didn't want the battery to die on me. So I took all precautions to make sure.
You're just sitting in a hot car.
No, it was morning. It was cool outside. It was cool.
Oh, okay.
So right. I turn on the heater every once in a while to warm it back up and turn the car back off. Well, so I go to sleep and I'm like, I wake up. It's like 9:30. No one's moved. Great. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll take another little mini nap. And then I wake up to pong, as a bunch of trucks are honking at me. I popped up wide awake, like turned the key, like drove.
immediately crash into a car ahead of you.
And like people are like, people like driving past me and shit. Like, oh damn. Because it turns out it wasn't 10 o'clock yet. It was only, it was 9:50. And there was a gate before the gate where they were going to check people in. Well, it was like around this like mountain curve. I got there so early. I was only like 5-6 cars back. And so they opened up that first gate to let everyone in. So we drive forward a couple blocks, and then we wait in another line to actually get into the dump. But I'm like, I'm by myself. Like no one's with me. I was going to wake Baxter up, but I was like, ah, no, he'll just yell at me all day if I do that. Yeah, then I smelled like the dump for a couple hours. But then while I did have time to think, I was, here's what happened Saturday, the day before. I went to Lowe's because I forget what I was getting at Lowe's. It doesn't matter. But sometimes you're as a middle-aged man.
Sometimes you don't go to Lowe's to get something. You go to Lowe's to figure out what you need.
Yeah. So let me.
Lowe's tells you what you need.
So let me just tell you.
My wife tells me about Target.
Let me just tell you the projects that I have now slated for myself. I'm going to put a ceiling fan in the living room. I'm going to replace my deck in the back with Trex decking. I'm going to drywall my garage.
Car hold.
The car hold, yes. car hold. What are you? Fancy French. Ooh, garage. And something else. But while I was meandering about, I found in the insulation section, like it was $15, this big 25-pound bag of like insulation material, not fiberglass, but just like it's for soundproofing and
yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. Oh, and I've been thinking about this. I looked up a couple days earlier, like how much sound panels for the walls would cost from like Sweetwater or Guitar Center. And for like four of them, it's like $380. And I'm like, God, man, I can't justify that much money for those. And I don't know if it's even going to work, right? I'm like,
sure.
How much is that going to affect sound in my room? By the way, I don't have them up right now. So if you haven't noticed the change, it's because there has been.
No, so this is a control. This is the control test.
Yes. So I was like, you know what? $17 for this bag of insulation. Yeah, screw it. I'll buy it. Yeah. So I bought it and took it home. That was Saturday. And as I was waiting at the dump on Sunday, I'm like, how hard would it be to make some frames for that? I should do that. So when I dropped the truck off at my dad's house, I was like, I think I want to do this, make the frames and make these things hang from the ceiling. He's like, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Do you have a saw? I'm like, oh, no, I don't. He's like, if you're going to want a saw. I'm like, all right. So I go to Joann's Fabrics. I get a collection of rock and roll themed designs,
textiles.
I go to Lowe's. I get some wood. And when I go to Lowe's, right, I've never bought lumber in my life at a Lowe's. And so you always see like the 2x4s and all these big long planks. And I'm always like, my car can't fit these planks. They're too long. You know, this seems like such a simple thing, but I'm like, can I get these cut in half? They're like, yeah, no, you take it to the woodcutter in the back. Like, oh, cool.
Obviously. I knew that. I was testing you and you passed.
When I went over to the circular table saw area. And then this nice young woman was like, hey, what are you doing? I was wearing a Rick and Morty shirt. She's like, hey, that's a Rick and Morty shirt. I love that. I just got one of the Chase Funkos signed by the voice actor. Oh, that's awesome. Right on. Congratulations. She's like, I love that shirt. It was the Rickmobile one. She's like, oh, that's great because it doesn't even look like a Rick and Morty shirt. I'm like, I know. It's great, isn't it? Anyway, so she's like, okay, what are you looking at? I'm like, looking at the circular saw. Okay, what are you trying to do? I'm like, I'm just trying to cut a little bit of wood here and there. And it's like, okay, all right, well, you don't need this one. This one is like brushless. This one's like a more heavy duty one. This $79 one is fine. I'm like, okay. Then she's like, but I mean, it's brushless, so you probably want to go brushless because you get dirt debris in there. I was like, sure, whatever. I'll get that one. She's like, I don't get a commission, so I'm just like, that's fine. I was gonna get the more expensive one anyways. But then she helped me out with the wood, and she's like, do you know how to pick out wood? Wood planks? I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, okay, so you're like,
this is the longest they've ever let me stay in the store.
She is the nicest Lowe's employee.
Usually I just buy spray paint and tape, and then I have to leave.
She was the nicest Lowe's employee I've ever interacted with. So she's like, so take the plank of wood and then tilt it at an angle, and then look, see, here's a good one to show you what's wrong. And you just look at it eye level and see if it curves. like, oh, that's cool. Thanks for the tip. Anyways, just let you know, I half-assed a couple of the planks I did buy, and they are definitely curved, and it was a mistake. So I get home, and I'm like, I don't have any instructions or anything like that. It's like, fuck it, let's just measure and wing it, and let's figure it out. And it turns out I did all right. I did all right. I ordered a few. thanks, Val. So I ordered a few things. The fabric is on the front. So you'll see that on the back. I got some netting. And so I didn't have a staple gun or enough staples for my staple gun. So I just nailed the fabric in there. So I ordered a staple gun that's coming tonight, which I'll probably leave the podcast early so I can finish all that stuff. But so it's got all the stuff and fluffs in here.
Ugh. Okay.
As I hit it, the stuff and fluffs come out. And then on the front side, like, I've got a Who one, I've got a Pink Floyd one, you know, it's like,
cool.
it looks like a Christmas thing. So this is just going to hang on over the ceiling. It's going to hang on the ceiling, and then there's going to be a gap between this and the ceiling. So the sound will get caught in there and won't reduce the reflections. And I have a bigger canvas over on the window, because the window is a big source of those reverbs.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna fill that up there with that soundproofing stuff too. That'll be a nice little project. But I did four of these things. Pretty damn easy. And I'm like, look at me, Dan Harmoning. get my wood shop going.
That's good. I just choose to sit in my walk-in closet every time we record. And I just used all of the clothes as my sound absorption. So yeah. I mean, that's a personal choice. You could do whatever you want.
You could do whatever you want. Yeah, I just I thought it kickstarted because the Santa Ana winds were here this last week. It knocked down our string lights. I needed to get new tie straps to put the string lights back up. It knocked down our trellis. Like, damn it, you know, I gotta fix our trellis now. Like, I should get some wood screws. And you know, I just went down a Lowe's rabbit hole. And then also, by the way, going to Joann's is a great fabric spot. You know, they've got so many good designs over at Joann's. Here's the thing. You got Hobby Lobby. Yeah. Let me take a step back. Michaels. I went to Michaels first. I tried to go to Michaels, but then I remember Michaels doesn't have fabric. Michaels, they have some, they have like square fabric things at our Michaels anyway. They don't have rolls and rolls of fabric at our Michaels.
It's more of a craft store than an all out fabric store.
If you want fabrics from Michaels, it's more like a crap store. You know what I'm saying? Then over on Hobby Lobby, because you know, they've got fabric and it's a bad fabric, but they don't have as wide an assortment of fabric as you get Joann's, and they don't have all the licensed stuff because people are like, I'm not going to let Hobby Lobby license my stuff. You guys hate birth control, right? They avoid that.
They're not even open on Sundays,
which is, let me be honest, political stuff aside, I don't go there because they're not open on Sundays. because usually I think about doing stuff on Sundays. It's the same thing with the Chick-fil-A. Like,
well, I guess I at least get a chicken sandwich on the way home.
And Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A are in the same parking lot in my city. So
It tracks. That is an empty parking lot on Sundays.
But Joann's, I drove an extra 15 minutes to get there. But let me tell you, I spent an extra 45 minutes just rubbing my, you've seen Gladiator, you know, like Russell Crowe is like walking through the fields and he's just feeling like the wheat on his fingertips as he's dying.
That was you in the fabric sections.
Yeah.
Imagine a craft enthusiast who named their kids Michael and Joann.
Do you know anybody like that?
No, I just imagine it.
and then Hobby Lobby.
And then their dog Hoblob.
So
you're being crafty. You're being creative. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. It's good.
Fun. I'm like, what else can I make? My 3D printer. I made some new stuff. I made the Homer in the bush.
I didn't see him. He was behind your head the whole time.
So for our audio listeners, I made a little wall art with a Homer in the bush.
Oh, I like that. I kind of want you to send me that STL.
All right. Yeah, you got it. I really dig it. And I was like, oh, I should make more of these things. Obviously, we talked about last week.
Those would be great on my cubicle at work, actually.
Yeah.
I have this huge like foam corner of the cubicle that like barely has anything on it. That kind of stuff would be great on there.
Yeah, that took like 30 minutes to print. It was very, 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 very quick.
That's good.
On mine. Yeah, it'd probably take 6 hours for yours.
Hey, let's not 3D print shame on this podcast, okay?
I'm joking. On my Ender 3, it would take 38 minutes. It's 2D, basically.
They're pretty quick. It's a small file.
So doing that, I also thought about, well, I need to start, I want to start growing some plants. So I'm like, you know what? I found a planter STL. So it's like a seedling starter kit. So it's got the base and it's got six different two part cones. And then, so what you do is you put the seed in there, you put the lid on, and then as the seed grows, the roots go like that, kind of down. And then you take it apart and then you just insert it into, you know, your long-term thing. I'm like, that's great. I can do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm all about practical printing now, Travis.
Yeah. I finally brought you around to it.
I got bored printing big ass dungeons that I'll never use for anything.
I had to wake up early on Saturday because my kid was volunteering at an event. And so I had to get up, drop them off. And then I come back and it's like, I don't know, 6:30 in the morning or something on Saturday. Nobody else is awake. I am now definitely awake because I'm pretty much on schedule for my normal sleep schedule. So I was like, what am I gonna do? Watch a movie, I guess. Can't really play Lorcana. I mean, I guess I could play Pixelborn. You know, I have some unpainted 3D prints that I could pull the paints out, have a nice little paint sesh, throw some more episodes of The Last Airbender.
Oh yeah,
on my computer. So I've totally been painting. I've been painting this. A 75 millimeter scale cyber scorpion thing that I've been working on.
Looks pretty cool, man.
So I printed the base and kind of gave it. This was all bright green filament, by the way. So it's wild that this is like, you know, like brown and kind of earthy, rocky.
Did you prime it?
I did. I primed it with like a brown spray paint.
Okay. All right.
And then just kind of went into the crevices, added some darker like stone like tones into the crevices, and then just some like dry brushing like a lighter like sand color to kind of bring out some highlights and stuff.
That looks
but kind of went
that looks really good.
Went
man.
Darker on the underside there to kind of
you
but I, yeah, like I said,
I would never have known green. It was bright green when you printed it out. I'm not gonna say I'm in awe. Because that's too much credit.
It's too flattering.
But I am impressed because that's a good paint job, especially over and then,
also printed in bright green, but now with a gray, you know, base, and I'm trying to get in there using some metallic paints. I'm not doing like a full on wash, but just like in some of the crevices and stuff.
Oh, it detaches.
Yeah, well, it printed in separate pieces. So this and that will get glued together eventually.
Oh.
The piece I'm not showing you is the big freaking scorpion tail that goes on the back.
Oh, like yeah. That looks, that's
so
cool.
So that's how it'll end up, you know, looking when I glue it all together.
How many pieces? 1, 2, 3, 4? 4 pieces?
So the base printed in 2 pieces. And then it was 3 pieces for the actual scorpion, so 5 total, yeah. But I'm pretty happy with how it's looking. It was the first like real like model type thing that I tried to print in a large scale using the FDM printer.
Yeah,
and I'll be honest, like there was a lot of trial and error. There was having to reorient some of the pieces to kind of maximize how certain sides of it would look, yeah. Knowing that
the stepping
using supports and the stepping and the layer lines, like there were definitely like I printed the front of it face up like this, right? Knowing that there were little details that were gonna have to be done towards the end, mm-hmm. And knowing that the back of it was not gonna be seen by people. So the part that actually gets that was sitting on supports, like the back of these arms, even they have like really thick and like uneven, not smooth bits of plastic that are the result of them sitting on support material and not an actual build plate.
Are you sanding any of that stuff or?
I did a little bit and then I was like, I don't need to work that hard on this.
Yeah. What I would say is just if you go to Lowe's, Home Depot, wherever, and just get the wood filler, you already primed it and started painting it. So.
Oh yeah. Well, like I have wood filler that I use for some of this, like because this was 2 pieces.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so like I did wood filler up the middle to kind of, if you look really hard, you can see a seam in there, but like for the most part, like naked eye, or just a quick glance, especially because it's under where the robot's going to be, like it's and that's the other thing with this is I was really concerned about all those details when it was just like raw plastic and it wasn't primed or anything like that, but even just like sitting on my desk while I'm in the middle of printing it and just like glancing over at it, I'm like, I think it looks really cool. Like that, like I can look really closely at it and pick out the little things that are wrong with it or like where, you know, supports didn't fully peel away. And I could have pulled out my Dremel and like really gotten in there and smoothed some things out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like this is going to sit somewhere on my desk. Like it's going to, people are going to probably see it from a few feet away and they're just going to go, oh, That's a cool scorpion robot thing. Like
they won't notice. Yeah. Like in like even if you don't sand stuff, I'm trying to look around my room to see if I have anything. I don't. But they're like a lot of things. It's gonna be at a distance, right? It's gonna be like like behind you by Morty's head, right? Like they're not gonna be like all they're gonna see is a dragon or this cool mechanical scorpion. They're not gonna be like, hey, Travis, you know, you could have printed that at a 0.08 instead of a 0.4.
I noticed the left side of that tail isn't quite as detailed as the right side. You think if you'd reoriented it, you could have gotten a better print?
I can see where your Z seam was.
that's my personal business, and I appreciate it if you would.
which is a though I'm making fun of people, it is a particularly nerdy 3D printing comment that like 3D printers are like, why'd you come on, you fucking nerd. Anyway.
So anyway. But it's cyber. It's cyber scorpion-y. So like, even if the stuff looks a little not perfect, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's just the aesthetic for it being like futuristic.
Yeah.
It's part of the Matrix or something. I don't know.
Travis.
Yeah. So that's happening.
The last thing I want to talk about this week is there are some movies coming up that I want to see. And it starts this week with Ghostbusters, The Frozen Land or Lost World, Jurassic Park, whatever it is.
Yeah. Ghostbusters, the Jurassic Park.
And the reason I want to talk about, mention the Ghostbusters one is at Regal Cinema, they have a really cool looking fucking popcorn bucket, which is in the shape of a ghost trap.
Okay.
That I'm like, I need to see this so I can get a ghost trap popcorn bucket. Like, I don't even need to see the movie. I just want that popcorn bucket. I think they're already giving them out, selling them, the specialty ones. And I was almost like, let me find a movie this weekend to go see. I don't care what it is. I just want that popcorn bucket.
Just give me that ghost trap. So if I gotta have it.
So if I can find that, I'm gonna buy it definitely. Godzilla X Kong is coming out at the end of the month. I'm looking forward to that. This isn't movies related, but I'm gonna see a couple concerts this summer and this fall. The first is I forget what it's called. It's a 3-day festival, or it's a festival. And it's got...
Is it Coachella?
No. It's got the original Misfits. It's got Bad Religion. It's got Teenage Bottle Rocket.
It's so many punk, pop punk,
it's our
teenage years.
It's like, going to be so badass. So I got tickets to that in June.
Make sure you take your ibuprofen before you go.
I will. And so I'm going with a coworker, Justin, who's really, really, really cool. He's like I finally found my punk rock friend to go to punk rock shows with out here. The second thing is I bought his ticket for the concert is, but I bought his ticket for that. And so NoFX is going on their final tour ever, supposedly, like the Eagles said that. So do Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Eventually they'll go back on tour, but they're going on a whirlwind tour. They're ending in Pomona, California, and it's their last show. And so my friend Justin was like, hey, you want to go to that? We'll go on Sunday. I'm like, yeah, I'm down. He's like, I'll buy your ticket. I'm like, cool. Yeah. Cause I bought your other ticket. And then he was like, it's only like $100 extra to go all 3 days. And Face to Face is playing one of those days. All right, you talked me into it. So in October, going to see NoFX's last show ever over the course of 3 days. Let me tell you, I am going to wear a shit ton of sunscreen. It's going to be hot as hell in Pomona, California. And I will probably throw up 2 or 5 times, but it's gonna be a hell of a thing.
Good for you. I'm going to a concert next month.
Oh, where are you going?
I'm going to see a band called May. It's a band that I listened to a whole bunch about 20 years ago.
Like an emo band.
And it was actually one of the first concerts that Sheena and I went and saw when we moved to Oklahoma the first time. That was like 18 years ago, right? And they are celebrating the 20th anniversary of one of their albums called Destination Beautiful. And they're performing the entire album at the concert. I'm super stoked about it because it's like literally it's nostalgia for me and Sheena. We used to listen to that album like driving around when we were dating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So excited to go see them. I think it's good. Like, it's not like a super well-known band. So I think like it'll be like it's like a smaller venue and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
I saw the announcement in Facebook and Instagram. They're like bombarding me with it. In the mid 90s, we're teenagers, right? And
yeah, teenage dirtbags.
and I'm a teenage boy. A band came out in that time frame that I just loved their first album. It was a blue album, and it was and it was Weezer, right?
And yeah, in the garage. I feel safe.
And then they came out with Pinkerton. Then a couple years later, they came out with the Green Album. And then they came out with a bunch of Maladroit and a bunch of albums that I didn't give a shit about because I didn't like them. And really, Pinkerton, Pinkerton's good. Green Album is okay.
But do I still have the Blue Album on vinyl? Yes, I do.
But the Blue Album is wonderful. And I will list, there are albums out there in the world that you can listen to the first track to the last track and enjoy all of them. The Blue Album is definitely one of them. Well, so Weezer announced a tour where they are playing the Blue Album in its entirety. And then, you know, other hits like Africa. I don't know. And I am
playing hits by Toto.
And I got to tell you, Travis, I'm torn about this. This will be our last topic. Everyone is listening.
No.
I'm torn about this because I want to see them play the Blue Album, but I don't want to see the rest of their stuff like Pork and Beans and Hollywood Hills. That's where we want to be. Like, I could do without that shit. If they played the Blue Album from start to finish at the start and then that's it, then I'd be like, good, I can leave now. then you play whatever else you want to play. How do you feel? How do you feel about Weezer?
I think it's an interesting premise, right? Like, was it Roger Waters when he did The Wall?
Yeah, but he only played The Wall.
Right? You just just play The Wall.
Just The Wall.
Play the whole album, all the songs. That is an experience, right? That album is a story in it to itself. Like there's a story arc throughout it, right? It has a subtext throughout. So like that makes sense to perform that whole thing. There are certain albums that I think, like the Blue Album, different albums that are iconic to different artists, where I think you can get away with playing the whole album because people really love just all the tracks that are on there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I think some people, there's probably a collection of fans that are like, if I just wanted to listen to the album, I'd turn on my record player or stream it on Spotify. But to like hear it performed, have all those songs like played in order, like I think it takes the experience that we have of listening to the album and we're like loving it in the order and in the context, right? Yeah. And then having that artist like perform that in its entirety, it like it's not just performing the song, it's performing that whole out, like to me that is a really cool experience. And I think, you know, obviously artists want to mix it up, they want to curate, they want to do different things, but and when you have a huge catalog, it can be hard to just be like, no, we're just gonna play these songs.
Seeing The Who, seeing Steely Dan, seeing the Eagles, like those, like it's Chicago,
Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour.
You know, they have so many songs from all of their different albums that, you know, you want to hear their singles from all of these different things. But you know, like you mentioned The Wall, like that entire album is standalone. Like that is, it's from start to finish. You can listen to that whole album and then be done with it. Blue Album, the same thing. Like you can listen to My Name is Jonas and with Only in Dreams and like if you want the B-sides of like damn it, there's one with a Moog in it. You gave your love to me softly. Great song. So like if you have some of those B-sides in there, like that, that's cool too. And it's an entire experience. And it takes you back, takes me back, it takes you back. You're 40, you're about to turn 41. I'm about to turn 42. Where like, hey, this was us in our teenage years. We listened to this album from start to finish back then. Now to see these old ass people playing this music without Matt Sharp, to be fair, is would be cool to see. I don't want to pay for it, but it would be cool to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, concerts are cool. I am excited to go to one that is like an artist I'm really into, because the last few concerts I've been to were like taking my kids to see the artist that they're into. And I mean, still a good show. Like, talented musicians or talented musicians.
Are you
like,
are you gonna take your kids to see May? Any of your kids?
No, this is a parental date night.
Oh,
this is for me and Gina.
If you had a band to take your kids to see from your youth, which band would it be? It probably depends on which kid, of course, but
yeah.
Start with your oldest.
That's tough. Like different bands for each kid.
That'd be
a minute.
Well, just pick one kid, pick your favorite, and then go with that.
I don't know. I just take them all to see Switchfoot, because that's the band I've seen so many freaking times.
Okay.
I don't know that they'd all like them, but the artist that my whole family is hyped about right now is a guy named Noah Kahn. He's blowing up. He has more of like a sort of like a folky kind of like a lot of like acoustic sounding like guitar and stuff, and but just art. Give her credit. My oldest, she discovered him first, because she's the most in tune with the music scene these days. But started playing a bunch of his stuff, and now the whole family is just really into him. So if we could go to a concert right now, we would all go see Noah Kahn for sure.
Do you know, I was gonna make a joke about this is a band I would want to take Baxter to see, but he saw The Who, so he's done. But over at that concert I'm gonna go to, there's a band called Viagra Boys. Travis, I've sent you Troglodyte, one of their songs called Troglodyte, which is a fantastic song. There's another song called Sports. I know I've sent you that one, like volleyball, baseball, wiener dogs, getting high by the beach. But there's their album, Cave Stories, is weird. They're playing at this concert. There's another song called Ain't No Thief, where he's talking about like, you said you thought I stole this jacket from you, but I just happened to be at that beach at the same time as you. And I saw your grandma and I helped her at the store and she gave me one as a gift. that's a weird one. And then there's one called, I think, is it Creepy Crawlers? And it is such an avant-garde, absurdist song. And it's so crazy. And I love it so much. I would love anybody to go out there. Creepy Crawlers, Viagra Boys. Can't wait to see them live.
There you go. Music recommendations with Brandon. Go check out the Viagra Boys. And with that, I think that is gonna wrap up this episode. Thanks to everybody for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, do all the things. And if you're listening, you're not a subscriber, subscribe to this podcast. You can rate, review it. Really helps others to find these episodes. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to go record our post show for patrons only. You can go to patreon.com for that. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.